Madame Pomfrey now came walking briskly up the dark ward to Harry's bed. He turned to look at her. She was carrying the largest block of chocolate he had ever seen in his life. It looked like a small boulder.
"Ah, you're awake,"
she said briskly. She placed the chocolate on Harry's bedside table and began breaking it apart with a small hammer. "How's Ron?" said Harry and Hermione together.
"He'll live," said Madame Pomfrey grimly. "As for you two, you'll be staying here until I'm satisfied you're... Potter, what do you think you're doing?"
Harry was sitting up, putting his glasses back on and picking up his wand. "I need to see the headmaster," he said.
"Potter," said Madame Pomfrey soothingly, "it's all right. They've got Black. He's locked away upstairs. The Dementors will be performing the kiss any moment now." "What?"
Harry jumped up out of bed. Hermione had done the same, but his shout had been heard in the corridor outside. Next second, Cornelius Fudge and Snape had entered the ward.
Harry, what's this?" said Fudge, looking agitated. "You should be in bed. Has he had any chocolate?"
he asked Madame Pomfrey anxiously.
"Minister, listen," Harry said. "Sirius Black's innocent. Peter Pettigrew faked his own death. We saw him tonight. You can't let the Dementors do that thing to Sirius. He's..."
But Fudge was shaking his head with a small smile on his face.
Harry, you're very confused. You've been through a dreadful ordeal. Lie back down now. We've got everything under control."
"You haven't," Harry yelled. "You've got the wrong man."
"Minister, listen, please,"
Hermione said. She had hurried to Harry's side and was gazing imploringly into Fudge's face.
"I saw him too. It was Ron's rat. He's an animagus. Pettigrew, I mean, and..."
"You see, Minister," said Snape, "confounded both of them. Black's done a very good job on them."
"We're not confounded," Harry roared. "Minister, Professor," said Madame Pomfrey angrily, "I must insist that you leave. Potter is my patient and he should not be distressed."
"I'm not distressed. I'm trying to tell them what happened," Harry said furiously. "If they'd just listen."
But Madame Pomfrey suddenly stuffed a large chunk of chocolate into Harry's mouth. He choked, and she seized the opportunity to force him back onto the bed.
"Now, please, Minister, these children need care. Please leave."
The door opened again. It was Dumbledore. Harry swallowed his mouthful of chocolate with great difficulty and got up again.
"Professor Dumbledore, Sirius Black..."
"For heaven's sake," said Madame Pomfrey hysterically, "is this a hospital wing or not? Headmaster, I must insist."
"My apologies, Poppy, but I need a word with Mr. Potter and Miss Granger," said Dumbledore calmly. "I have just been talking to Sirius Black."
"I suppose he's told you the same fairy tale he's planted in Potter's mind," spat Snape. "Something about a rat and Pettigrew being alive."
"That indeed is Black's story," said Dumbledore, surveying Snape closely through his half-moon spectacles.
"And does my evidence count for nothing?" snarled Snape. "Peter Pettigrew was not in the Shrieking Shack, nor did I see any sign of him on the grounds."
"That was because you were knocked out, Professor," said Hermione earnestly. "You didn't arrive in time to hear."
"Miss Granger, hold your tongue."
"Now, Snape," said Fudge, startled, "the young lady is disturbed in her mind. We must make allowances."
"I would like to speak to Harry and Hermione alone," said Dumbledore abruptly. "Cornelius, Severus, Poppy, please leave us."
"Headmaster," sputtered Madame Pomfrey, "they need treatment. They need rest."
"This cannot wait," said Dumbledore. "I must insist."